Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's start with Pats and Dolphins here today, Keith.
Yes.
We do this periodically. Would you rather be the Patriots or their opponent? I know it's not a Would You Rather Wednesday.
This is confusing.
However, would you rather be the Patriots or the Dolphins? Take that how you want. Big picture, you know, 3, 5, 10 years down the line, however you want to look at that. Would you rather be the Patriots or the Dolphins? Who's in a better spot?
Once again, with these questions, it comes back to Drake May. We're both very high on Drake May. Some have even suggested we are cheerleaders for Drake May. But if you have the quarterback, that solves so many things. Not a lot of teams have the quarterback. I think Miami, you know, depending on who you talk to there, they might think they have the quarterback. Others don't. Others say you do, but it's only a matter of time because of, unfortunately for him, all the different concussions and horrible concussions that Tua has gotten. So if you had asked me this a couple of months ago, I would have said this is a no-brainer. You know, give me, no pun intended on the Tua thing, but like I liked Mike McDaniel, back-to-back playoff trips. Obviously, their wide receivers are significantly better than the wide receivers here. They had spent money on defense. It seemed like, all right, this is a team you wanted to kind of emulate. You know, 9 wins for Mike McDaniel in his first year, 11 wins in his second year. And now they're going to compete, right? No, they've kind of gone the other way. Part of that, obviously, is Tua being hurt. So I go back to, I still don't trust Gerard Mayo, but Mike McDaniel's kind of stock is falling. So if it's Drake May versus Tua, which is a lot of what the conversation is going to come down to, definitely put me in the Drake May camp. And despite the Patriots being 3-8, right? Like, I don't want to make it sound like the Patriots are great, but going forward, I would rather be the New England Patriots than the Miami Dolphins.
I'm the same way. Yeah. And I think I like Tua, I would say, more than your average fan.
More than me.
I like him more than you. Exactly. Yeah. I think McDaniel, and I've been saying this for a while, I think he got exposed when Tua was out. I think a lot of people look at it and go, McDaniel fixed Tua. I never thought Tua was that bad before McDaniel got there. He wasn't as good. I acknowledge that. McDaniel helped get more out of him. But I never thought Tua was like a garbage quarterback before McDaniel got there. He won a bunch of games. And the offense cratered without Tua this year. And by the way, it still hasn't been that great since he came back. They're not throwing the ball downfield. They're not getting Jaylen Waddle involved. And so I don't hate Tua, but he's not as good as Drake May, or at least let me rephrase. The ceiling isn't as high as Drake May. Like right now, Tua might be a better quarterback week to week, more consistent quarterback.
Yeah.
It's not like they're winning a ton of games. It's not like the stats are incredible, but he's done it before.
If Dolphins could trade straight up, they would do it in a second.
Especially with Tua's contract.
And the contract, that's
so
the thing.
So this is something that Curran brought up early in the week, and I kind of brushed it aside when I first heard it, but you know, Tua is one of those top 5 highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, none of them are winning. None of them are their teams aren't playing well.
The Packers have a winning record, but Jordan Love's not playing great.
And so, like, even Burrow is in that mix, and it's been terrible. You know, with Dak and some of these other guys. So, I don't think Curran's saying you can't pay a top-flight quarterback. I don't think that's what he's saying. What he's saying is you got to get it right on that guy if you're going to pay them that kind of money. And you have to maximize Drake May prior to that. And that's what he's talking about. He was talking about kicking tires on Alex Van Pelt and looking around and seeing, do they have the best fit with Drake May? And so you have to maximize this window before you have to pay Drake May, because that's going to be a big call on all these quarterbacks. It is. Do you want to pay them like a top five QB? Are they a top five QB? Are you going to overpay them? Are they worth it? I'm with you. I would rather have Drake May than Tua, and I think the Dolphins would make that move straight up, especially considering the contract.
Yeah, I think even if you're high on Tua, like to your point, like if you like Tua and you're like, well, when he's out there, this guy is winning a lot of games and he's, you know, got a good touchdown interception ratio and all that stuff. It's like, yeah, but I think you'll take the 22-year-old Drake May and what he has shown in his, you know, six career starts or whatever it is. So, yeah, I think you're taking Drake May. Now, there's still plenty of other spots you need to clean up. Like, this isn't, oh, the Patriots are in, like, this great spot. It's like, no. They found the hardest thing to find in the NFL. But, like, what's their next best strength? I don't know. They got one good corner? Like, okay, great. Like, they don't have much else. Whereas if you're Miami, you're saying, all right, we do have a top half of the league quarterback right now. We have two elite wide receivers. I know one of them they don't even really use much, and so I don't know what's going on with Jalen Waddle, but they have two elite.
He's not as good as Jonnu Smith. We all know from watching Jonnu Smith.
You've got to get the ball to Jonnu Smith.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to get the ball to Jonnu Smith. Yeah, but like their defense, Miami's, is kind of middle of the pack, whereas their offense has been what has let them down, and it's when Tua hasn't played. Even when Tua has played, they're not exactly lighting up the scoreboard.
No.
And then when he wasn't there, I mean, we saw one of those games. What was that, week five or whatever it was? I mean, that was atrocious. So you got Mike McDaniel over there, and I, you know, they're down to like their fourth quarterback. Like that, I don't know how many guys can get Snoop Huntley to light up the scoreboard or Skylar Thompson or Tim Boyle.
But if you're supposed to be,
yeah, maybe more
an offensive guru and a mastermind,
uh-huh,
you need to get more out of these middling quarterbacks. And not like McVay didn't, you know, his offense suffered when Stafford got hurt. Was that last year? 2 years ago? 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Stafford got hurt. They brought in Baker Mayfield at the end of the year.
Turned
like,
Baker Mayfield's career around.
He fell off. And so it's not like it's always going to be perfect, but I do feel like Andy Reid, high-level comp, but Andy Reid would get something out of other quarterbacks when they plugged in. I'm not just talking about Alex Smith. I'm talking about when Mahomes got hurt a few years ago. You know, he fractured his kneecap or whatever it was.
Yeah.
They were able to plug in whoever their backup was, win games, and
they had a four-game stretch, which included the Patriots' win, or the win over the Patriots, I guess, if you're the Dolphins, where Tua goes down. They scored 3 points against Seattle, 12 against Tennessee, 15 in the win against the Patriots, and then 10 in a loss to the Colts.
So to me, with all the talent they have there, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Achan with the offense, they have some players on defense as well. Even with all that talent, it sounds too Tua-dependent, and I know a lot of Patriots fans don't like Tua, which blows my mind because he's never lost to them. While Bill was here, Tua doesn't lose to the Patriots. I don't get how Patriots fans don't at least respect
undefeated,
that
right?
He always beats them.
Yeah.
I don't get that. And so you guys don't even like Tua. It sounds way too Tua-dependent in Miami. I would rather be the Patriots than the Dolphins. Now look, and that's almost purely about Drake May. I would rather have Mike McDaniel than Jerod Mayo, but I will tell you, McDaniel has been maybe not as good as you would think. He was 9-8 his first year.
Mm-hmm.
He got to the postseason and lost. Last year they were 11-6, got to the postseason, lost. Their teams taper off in December in the cold weather. That offense isn't as successful outdoors and in the cold weather. Never mind this year with all the rules changes and all the pre-snap motion, how the league tried to tighten that up and put an emphasis on that. The offense looks much, much, much more pedestrian this year than it has in years past. They're 4-6 right now, and they look terrible when Tua wasn't out there.
Yeah.
I would take McDaniel over Jerod Mayo. I'd take most coaches in the NFL over Jerod Mayo. But I don't know that McDaniel is a great or even good head coach.
How safe is he, you think, in Miami? We're talking about all these different openings.
Let me tell you.
Bill. Yeah.
I didn't realize this. I listened to a lot of his press conference, which
McDaniel?
I can't possibly have that time back.
I like McDaniel.
I did. No,
I like,
go
he
ahead,
seems
go
like
ahead,
a character.
Go ahead and listen to 22 minutes of him like I did yesterday.
No, that seems like too much.
There was a
it shocked me when I opened it and saw 22
there
minutes.
There was a comment going around yesterday. McDaniel said something nice about Drake May. We're gonna play it coming up.
Yeah.
So I listened to the whole freaking press conference trying to find it.
I was gonna say I heard that one spot. I didn't listen to the whole thing.
So there was one thing he said in there that I wasn't really aware of, and then I read the item. I didn't know why they were peppering so much, meaning the Miami media. I read an item on Pro Football Talk today. He's coming under fire for benching all these veterans. So Raheem Mostert is now third on the depth chart and
Jim
barely
Montgomery.
Playing. That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
David Long is a defensive, he's a linebacker, rather,
yeah,
who they released. And he started to demote some of these veterans, and he's coming under fire for that, and he's getting questioned by it, and it sounds like the locker room is a little out on Mike
teetering?
McDaniel.
Are they teetering?
Maybe.
Okay.
That's exactly what I thought of, Keith. Oh, I boy. And maybe it's just because we had the Monty discussion the last couple of days, or we've been having it now for a few weeks. The warning signs may be there with Mike McDaniel. Like, his locker room might be turning on him.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, he had two good years to start, so you wonder what kind of a runway he gets. You know, like, if they miss the playoffs this year, and they're obviously trending like they are, but I wouldn't say they're out of it. You know, when you look at the teams, like, we talk about the Bengals, like, are they still in it? You know, you're chasing a team like the Broncos, so I think they have a chance still at the playoffs, especially if they can win this Sunday, they're 5-6.
Cincinnati,
like,
or Miami, who's more likely to get it?
Cincinnati. You know me, I like Cincinnati.
You do like
Cincinnati.
But they're
Cincinnati. Both frisky. If you look at our tiers, they're both a frisky bunch.
They are both frisky. They're both behind Indianapolis, and then Denver has a 7 spot. Miami's a half game up on Cincinnati. Dolphins are 4-6.
No, but they're a big
Bengals
letdown.
Are 4-7.
They're one of the big letdown teams of the year, because going into the season, the AFC East, I thought, was going to be just a murderer's row. I thought the Patriots were going to be in a lot of trouble, in part because it was going to be 6 really difficult division games, and the only one that's lived up to it is Buffalo. The Jets have obviously been a joke. Yeah. I was higher on them than you, but Miami was a team that I forget if I had them in the playoffs or just outside. But like, that was a team.
Let me take a look. I'll take a look. Let me take a look at our show, Doc Keefe. I don't remember if I thought
Miami would be in there, but even if I had them out,
wild card teams: Dolphins, yeah. Ravens, and Chargers. Good. Dolphins.
I had Dolphins.
I likewise had Miami. Yes.
So there you go. So I was gonna say most people I would have assumed had Miami.
You had the Jets winning the AFC.
I thought they were going to be good this year.
I had Buffalo.
All right, it hasn't happened yet. Let's not throw a parade for ourselves.
I also had the Browns in the playoffs, so.
Well, it's not going to happen either. I mean, you got to take some big swings every once in a while.
That's true.
You know? No, but my point is, like, back-to-back playoff appearances for the Dolphins. Obviously, they haven't been able to win any games in the playoffs, but it looked like a good start for Mike McDaniel, and you're like, all right, 2-0 was coming off a healthy year, or was it the year before, actually, that he had the healthy year? But regardless.
No, this year he was coming off a healthy year, correct.
Yeah, okay. Last year was the first year he played 17 games. Mm-hmm. So that's my point. So, but then, you know, he gets rocked and everyone's freaking out and whatever. But, you know, he comes back and they're still kind of middle of the pack, you know, middle of the pack team. And that's a situation where maybe they move on from Mike McDaniel only if they know they 100% have like an upgrade. Otherwise, I think you can do worse.
Well, and missing the playoffs to me isn't the smoking gun for McDaniel. Again, they barely made the playoffs his first year. Last year, they looked like they were onto something. They fell off in the cold weather. They lost that freezing cold game against Kansas City, I think it was, in the playoffs. And again, the rules changes, I think, are really impacting that Miami offense. You can't motion before the snap the same way you could the last couple of years, where his offense looked unstoppable. It looks much more pedestrian this year, even with Tua out there, who's missed a chunk of time. The bigger loss is what you just said. If the veterans, if he's losing the locker room, because he's always been an odd duck, weird personality, if he's losing the locker room, that's what will potentially get him fired.
Yeah, true.
And the only reason we're going off on a big Mike McDaniel tangent is because, again, would you rather be the Patriots or the Dolphins? I think a reason to point to Miami is the coach.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. They have a good system. They have a good scheme. They have good talent, blah, blah, blah. They do have good talent on offense, especially the skill players, but it feels very Tua dependent. And I think the coach is overrated.
Is it too much of a homer take?
I would rather be the Patriots.
Same.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it just because we're too positive on Drake May? Like, I don't think it's a homer take. Like, there's plenty of other teams out there. Like, yeah, you'd rather be Buffalo. Like, Buffalo right now is better. But I think just, you know, the uncertainty with really even like the Tua Mike McDaniel combination. Like, has it already hit its apex? Like, is it on its way down now?
Yeah.
I think it might be.
That's what it feels like. And again, if you think it's crazy to say you'd rather be the Patriots than the Dolphins, the Patriots already are 3-8 with Drake May. Miami's 4-6. So it's not like even in the standings this year, based on how it's playing out on the field, they were pretty competitive when they played each other earlier this year. Now, that was Brissett and that was Tyler Huntley. Let's see how it looks with Tua and Drake May. But on the field right now, it's not a big difference. And Miami feels like they're trending down. The Patriots trending up with Drake May, I'd rather be the Patriots.
So a fair question or a fair point, I think, on the text line saying it's a close call. They're still going to take Miami because they said even if you have to move on from Tua, somebody else could plug in there and probably have success. Somebody like Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, not Tim Boyle.
Or Snoop Huntley.
No,
but that's – I found that strange. Like if any team in the NFL is going to invest at least a little bit in the backup, wouldn't it be Tua?
That would be the team.
they got so caught up, like, oh, see, he made it through this season. It's like, well, he's never made it through any of the seasons prior to, and he was even hurt in college. Like, you don't want to throw, like, I don't know what the Case Keenum equivalent is, but like a guy that you know can play, or Joe Flacco. Like,
that's exactly the name I was going to say.
They should have been in on
Joe
Flacco.
Now, the shine has come off Flacco the last few weeks in Indy.
Yeah, but it wouldn't, like, if he played four games this year for Miami, they might go 3-1.
Right.
I mean, they lost to Tennessee, for God's sakes. And they lost to the Colts, which was, I think, Flacco. So, like, maybe they go 3-1 in that span. Right now, they're 6-4. Tua's back in. Playoffs are still on.
No. So, that's odd for Miami. And, again, you might think talent-wise there's a big gap. But on the field, in the standings, not a big gap.
No.
And I feel like the arrow is pointing up for the Patriots. It's pointing down in Miami.